Blog Talk Radio.
Well, tonight is Tuesday, and it's April the 9th, 2024, and you're listening to Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, all right? And tonight we're going to say what they wouldn't let us say last week, and we're going to add a little something-something onto it. Does the black vote really equal black power? Our position is we're sitting on our hands with this one, because to not vote in this election is a protest vote against political slavery and genocide. And we're not just talking about genocide in Gaza. We have got to help our people connect the dots. First, they came for the Palestinians, and I didn't say anything, because I didn't know who I was and who I should be identifying with in the war of imperialism. Then they came for the people in Georgia, Cop City, and I didn't do anything because I didn't know who I was and who the Africans were and the First Nation people were in Cop City. Then they came for the new asylum seekers and accuse them of being criminals. But I didn't do anything because I didn't know. They come here because everything was stolen from them where they were over there, and that they were not my enemy. And then they came for the Haitians, and I didn't do anything because I wasn't Haitian, and I didn't understand what an anatomy of oppression was trying to tell me that imperialism is my enemy, that colonialism is my enemy. So welcome. We are so happy. I'm looking at the board, and most of you were able to make the transition. I want to see if we can't get our warrior in the house to give you a few words of encouragement. I hope you can hear this.
Before, and I went to my first union meeting at 5 years old in Western Pennsylvania with my father, and all of these things that we have today and we see today were predictable. How do I know? People said, this is what's coming up. This is what you're going to be looking at. It's not going to be about religion. It's not going to be about any philosophy other than decency for all. And any philosophy that doesn't stand for decency for all isn't worth being involved in.
Yes.
And every philosophy that stands for decency for all, you must be involved in.
Yes.
And now I'm on fighting fracking. And I have a place upstate New York, right on the Canadian border. And I have a lot of contact with Amish people. And someone said to me recently, what are you doing for those Amish people? Nobody likes them. And they don't like us. And I said, well, let me tell you a little story. Up in the North Country, in a prison town, Malone has three prisons. And it used to be a final stop in the Underground Railroad. And the last house on the Underground Railroad, you could come out of the basement, and then you could look across the seaway. And the people who got up in the morning, ex-slaves who had traveled for months from the south, and they stepped out of the basement, and they said, look, there's freedom. All you have to do is walk there, 5 miles away, and then take the boat across the seaway. And so I couldn't help myself. I broke into the house. All of the spaces that were hidden spaces where people could hide, knocking on walls and floors. And I went to the basement and I looked up and my wife said, don't do that. There's somebody out. And I said, I can't help it. Can you imagine being enslaved, escaping slavery, and being 4 or 5 hours from freedom? Got to do it. And I broke out of the cellar door and I stood on a little hill. And you can go there today and look across the hill of freedom and what's there. You can't see the seaway because we have three prisons. And who's in the prison? You know who are in the prison. And I am so glad I did that because that was a lesson to me that the struggle must be continued. And as I said, I come from Western Pennsylvania. My father took me to a union meeting.
I'm going to stop it there because the answer to all of these issues is do no harm. That is the philosophy of the people who call themselves Quakers. Do no harm. And any religion that stands for decency, I don't care if it is the people in Gaza who have a different religion than us. If they stand for decency, and we all know what decency means, then they are my friends. And anyone who attacks them and their right for their call to decency is my enemy. And we all know what that means. And so I welcome you here tonight, and I'm so happy that one of our warriors is in the house. We're going to open up her mic before we go to Professor Louie. Sister Julia is back, and we missed you. Thank you. Your mic is open.
Yes. Yes, I missed you, too. And I will go straight to the news brought to us by Laura Whitehorn, who spoke to the Mumia International Collectives on April 6th. She said, quote, there is a right to hope, recognized by human rights law, according to the Center for Constitutional Rights. unquote. And the updated figure from the Palestinian Minister of Health today is 47% of those killed in Gaza are children. So two very brief poems on these children. The first one I wrote, "In Gaza, a magical child marvels that you never know what you can recover from the rubble of what was once your home. The memory of an interrupted table laid with steaming food just prayed for. Are the shattered bowls still full of what hunger now pines for? A bit of bedroom left intact where toys still nap, waiting to be picked up and taken back. A tricycle unharmed in working order in the middle of a no child's land of donkey-drawn hearses and burning cars. A shred of gleaming multicolored glass from a crushed kaleidoscope hidden from the sight of even the most advanced AI robot targets. This child pockets and treasures the right to hope." And from a poet from Palestine, these brief lines called, "O rascal children of Gaza, O rascal children of Gaza, you who constantly disturbed me with your screams under my window, you who filled every morning with rush and chaos, you who broke my vase and stole the lonely flower on my balcony, come back and scream as you want and break all the vases, steal all the flowers, come back, just come back."
Fantastic. Fantastic. You sound so strong, and it is really uplifting to hear your voice all the way over there in Europe with one of the NATO power countries. And we know it's about 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. where you are, and we appreciate your soldiering on the way you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the update. All right. We got another poet in the house who is also hanging in there with us. We appreciate you, comrade. Professor Louis, your mic is open.
Some got a lot and some got a little. Is there anybody left in the middle? Blame your brain till you solve the riddle. Why do some got a lot and some got a little? Anything worth anything comes from work. The earth grows food, but someone dug the dirt. Someone plants the seed you need to make it grow. Someone worked the row with a shovel and hoe. You build homes, roads, you teach kids. You won't get rich from the work you did, 'cause just three people in the USA own more than 160 million other people today. And the 160 million could work day and night with all their might, but they will never see the sight of billions. Instead, they got to fight with millions of headaches, heartaches, bad breaks, and cornflakes. And the very richest keep getting more. And who opened the door for the space between rich and poor that keeps getting more for the last 43 years? When the smoke clears, who had no choice? Who had the Rolls Royce? And just 1% at the top, in case you forgot, hold almost half the money. We all get what's left. That's kind of crummy and not too funny. And it's true. If you knew, you didn't think it through. that 99%, that's me and you. And with big money comes big power. Every hour when you shower money on politicians, sure enough, they huff and puff, but they go with the money when stuff gets rough. And the politician don't need a special message sent, because he himself is the 1%, and money in government makes the laws that cause the open doors for some to be on top and some to be forgot. And a lot of rich people are born that way. No matter what they say, they don't work for their pay. Some born with billions, living with ease. Some born with diddly squat, living with fleas. It's cold. Some got millions at 3 years old, and we're told we're all equal. But we don't start out that way. And don't ignore that the law lets it all stay and pay money to the next generation, and spoiled, rotten, rich kids come in rotation. They run the nation, and corporations and billionaires snort cocaine while you clean the drain. They put money overseas like a disease nobody sees. It slips through the cracks. They don't send no fax and don't pay no tax. And who made the law and who didn't snitch? It's a sure enough bitch that you can go bankrupt and stay filthy rich. And we pay for the roads corporations use. We pay for the airports their airplanes choose. It gives you the blues, and it's not news, but we pay to bail out when corporations lose. We pay to clean up all their pollution. There's no solution to the pollution that surrounds us, all around us. But when it gets you sick, you find real quick when the doctor gets paid, it's us who are made to blow the dough, and not too slow, else you go coughing down the block, and the company that made you cough sells more stock. And by the way, most all the stock in the USA is owned by 1/10 of the people today, and if they buy and sell stock, they can clock millions in an hour. It's a really weird power, because buying and selling don't do nothing for no one. It's not fun. It don't shine in the sun. But buying and selling does nothing for no one. And we once found out we could do without queens and kings, corporations and billionaires. Do we need these things? Check out this question appropriately. What have they done for you lately? So the system was already set with what we're going to get right from the jump. Are you a chump or are you a Trump? Are you rolling in dough or a regular Joe? And no muss, no fuss. The super rich do not like us. Throw you under the bus, Gus. And they do not pause to make all the laws, all the rules to make us the fools. And it's in the air, if you really dare, to really care what's really fair. The world don't need even one billionaire, because some get a lot and some get a little. Is there anybody left in the middle? Blame your brain till you solve the riddle. Why do some get a lot and some get a little?
Whoa. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know if Ralph were here what he would be saying right now. And I don't have to tell anyone who was there at the memorial. This guy knocked it out of the ballpark. Thank you, Professor Louis, for the words that our hearts need to hear. You talk about what is decency. This is what decency looks like. Thank you. Thank you for all your years in the struggle supporting us. Take care. All right, we got to go to Jericho now. I know she has a lot to say. Sister Ann, New York City, Jericho, your mic is open. Thanks for hanging in there. Thanks for coming back.
Hey, always an honor and a privilege to be with you, Sister Betty, on this wonderful program. Okay, just to say, today, April 9th, is the anniversary of the Deir Yassin massacre in Palestine, which happened on April 9th, 1948.
Hey.
So, just to remind people, this didn't start on October 7th, for sure. Well, of course, we must continue with some of our prisoners who are, of course, being subjected to attempted medical murder we might say. I would definitely say that. If you go to jerichony.org, we are still encouraging and asking people to make those phone calls for our dear comrade, Mumia Abu-Jamal, who will be 70 years old on April 24th. I know there are events coming up for him on that day. I don't know if Gil is with us.
Announcement, and they're on the line now.
I figured that. Okay. And also for Leonard Peltier, both of these brothers are suffering from very severe medical neglect. Now, if there is time, I do have a statement from one of our political prisoners, Shaka Shakur, who's a New African political prisoner, and he wrote a statement in solidarity with Palestine and also makes some really good connections between what's happening there and what's happening here.
So
the colonization...
Go ahead. We'll take the time. We'll take the time. I'm hoping they'll let me extend it on this new hookup, but we have to take the time for prisoner.
Okay. So Shaka says, the colonization of a people and the theft of a people's land, or the theft of a people and imposing second-class citizenship upon those people, are crimes against humanity and international law that so-called civilized nations are supposed to be governed by. When you have a government through political, economic, and or military domination oppressing, killing, and dictating the quality of life under the guise of being the chosen people, under the guise of Zionism, under the guise of white supremacy, maintaining security and a host of other bogus reasoning, that is an outlaw government, a terrorist state, a government that is guilty of genocide and committing crimes against humanity. It's interesting how there are so many similarities between colonial oppression and occupation in Palestine and the ghetto colonies throughout America. Both the United States and Israel came to exist as settler colonial powers predicated upon the genocide and erasure of indigenous peoples and communities, as well as the enslaving and slaughtering of African and New African people while occupying other people's land. You have Gaza and the West Bank, where soldiers and settlers maintain and enforce that colonial domination and racist Zionist policies, and the same in black and brown communities throughout this imperialist empire. In occupied Palestine, land has been seized and redistributed. The same with New Africans and indigenous folks, such as Native Americans, all throughout the South within the national territory, where black folks worked enslaved, shed blood and tears, and engaged in war, only to have it occupied, seized, confiscated, and redistributed, while promising 40 acres and a mule, only to be denied the right to self-determination, only to be denied the right to nationality, while having one imposed upon you and amending you as a people into a constitution. Just as in Palestine, you have soldiers and settlers policing the colonized, engaging in extrajudicial legal murders, and protected by the quote-unquote law. You have the George Zimmermans, the cases of Sandra Bland, George Floyd, Brother Aubrey, and too many others to name, instances where settlers and U.S. security forces have murdered unarmed civilians. Same as in Palestine. Throw a rock and get murdered. Join a political or militant formation and challenge occupation and have your family evicted and your home blown up by a missile strike. In contrast, live in the projects, so-called affordable housing, and or on reservations, and get caught hustling to survive, get caught challenging oppressive neo-colonial power, and your family is evicted, grandma and everybody. Live in a high-rise project and be subjected to prison-style lockdown as cops, colonial occupational personnel, and tactical units and soldiers rush in with battering rams and carry out search and destroy operations. Look at the Gaza Strip and West Bank during protests and rebellions against colonial violence, and you see tear gas, the firing of rubber bullets and live rounds. You see military vehicles and motorization. It kind of looks like Ferguson when Mike Brown was murdered, or Minnesota when George Floyd was murdered, or Nashville when Breonna Taylor was murdered, or Watts, or Compton, or Crenshaw, or Florence and Normandy after the cops got off for beating Rodney King. No, we don't have F-16 and gunships racing our communities like occupied Palestine. Palestine. We've got ghetto birds doing 24-hour surveillance and dropping IED bombs on homes full of women and children. Philly, May 1985. Bomb dropped, murdering new African revolutionaries and burning down an entire black community. They were called terrorists, too. No, we are not getting bombed by gunships. Instead, we are getting saturated by chemical and biological warfare agents. We are victims of a racist-ass medical-industrial complex that allows new African women to die in massive numbers during childbirth or breast cancer or ovarian cancer and a ton of other illnesses, many of which are preventable or curable. No, like Palestine, our children, men, and women are being ethnically cleansed from our communities into the prison industrial complex. These are just a few of the reasons that those of us who represent the New African Independence Movement and Black Liberation Movement stand in solidarity with Palestine and all neo-colonized peoples fighting against genocide and struggling to free the land. Free the land. Shaka Shakur.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Sister Anne. That was well worth hearing. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to move right along. I see we've got someone who's always on the run. So before we go to Brother Gil and his announcement about Mamiya, we're going to open up the mic for Comrade Tag. Brother Tag, thank you for joining us. Your mic is open.
Hey, Tag.
Hello?
Peace. Yes, I'm here.
I know you're busy where you are. That's why I opened up the mic. Go ahead.
Respect. I'm down south right now, and I'm not in the quietest place. I was just listening in and doing my best to hear what Comrade Anne was laying down. So, but
okay.
As always, I'm engaging with the program and just appreciating all of the information and updates and the commitment that y'all bring to it every single time. But I can't hear that well right now, unfortunately, where I'm at. The connection's a little unstable.
No problem. Did you want to make a special announcement? If not, we'll move right along.
Well, no particular announcements just at this moment, other than to say we are looking to provide some updates on our activities in the People's Senate, and particularly in People's Senate Northeast of late, including some strong subway intervention work behind this ongoing and intensifying criminalization of heads in the subway in particular these days. So look out for that, and shout out to the excellent work that the comrades with Swipe It Forward have been doing for years now, and supporting the people, on the ground.
All right. Thank you, Brother Tag. On that note, I want to say we're moving on to Brother Gil, because I know he has announcements. But next Wednesday on WBAI, we will be featuring the People's War against the fascism in the subway system. There are warriors out there who are maintaining their right to not be oppressed by the two armies of occupation, the so-called NYPD and the National Guard. So please be on the lookout. We've got some people who've been struggling in the subway system against this fascism for a long time, and we will be giving you updates on the different struggles so that you can join them. Without further ado, we're going to go to Brother Gil. We thank you for returning. Your mic is open.
Yeah, before I get into Mamiya, I just wanted to comment on the opening of the show. We have to understand that this is a global struggle, and that all these things are connected. It's not an accident that it was South Africa that brought the charges of genocide against Israel, because Israel supported apartheid in South Africa, and the apartheid government in South Africa supported Israel with uranium for nuclear weapons. It's not an accident. I'm all for reparations for the descendants of American slaves. But when we were with the Uhuru movement in Grand Armory Plaza and other places in Brooklyn, trying to raise money for the Black Power Blueprint in Ferguson, St. Louis, under the leadership of Penny Hess, Jesse Neville, and Chairman Amal Yeshitela. The Ados people, the people that want reparations for American slaves, came, and they interrupted our activities and denied that there was genocide and slavery in Haiti, in South and Central America. We had the Congressional Black Caucus used to support Mumia, and then they stopped. When Obama tried to appoint Odegbile, he was attacked, and they all backed down because the NAACP Legal Defense Fund had represented Mumia. Okay, but the result is we have Gregory Meeks and Richie Torres supporting Israel. We have AOC going to charter schools in the Bronx and doing military recruitment. This is what we have. The misleadership class is not just the black pastors that are supporting development and gentrification. It's a larger problem, and part of the problem is whether we have solidarity with each other around the globe and recognize this as a global struggle or not. Getting to Mumia, as was mentioned before, April 24th, Mumia's 70th birthday. We have a bus going down to Philadelphia, but people can get down to Philadelphia on their own too. So if you go to freemumia.com, freemumia.com, you will see a lead article on April 24th. But the second to the lead article is about the Ralph Poynter Memorial, including video and some of the video that wasn't even presented on March 24th. And we're working on more information to come on ralphpoynter.org as well. And you'll find links to that. And then the third lead article is on Mumia's health situation and actions you can still take today, calling, emailing, to get Mumia the health care that he needs, the healthy meals, the medical treatment that he's being neglected in the prison. On April 24th, in the afternoon from 2 to 4, there will be a march and rally around City Hall, including thousands of petitions from France that are going to be presented to DA Larry Krasner. Later that day, a mile or two south off of South Street, at the from 6 to 8, there's going to be an evening program at the Waters Memorial AME Church, 608 South Clifton Street, which is between 10th and 11th, just off of South Street in Philadelphia. The bus is going to be leaving New York City from 7th Avenue and Morton Street at Greenwich Locksmith, the Morton Street. The reason we chose that location and not the usual departing place from Union Square is because they're doing construction as part of the gentrification that's going on, building luxury apartments. So 14th Street and 7th Avenue is a total mess, and it would take us maybe an hour to get to the tunnel. So we're asking people to take the one train down to Houston and walk north three blocks, or take any of the trains that go to West 4th Street, Washington Square, and walk west. It's the West Village, so it's a little, you should go and get the directions because it's easy to get lost. You got a lot of streets that don't just go north, south, east, west. But you can go to either of those train stations and subway stations and get to the bus. It's leaving at 10 a.m., boarding just before 10 and leaving just after 10 a.m. And again, that's Greenwich Locksmith. He's been there 40 years. A family business locksmith, the kind of thing that we're seeing less and less of in New York. You can also go to the upper right corner of the website. There's information on our new email list so that you can get our information, be kept up to date. We're not going to spam you. We want to send you, at most two or three emails a month. Just keeping you up to date on a regular basis about Mumia's situation and about other political prisoners and what you can do.
Well, I thank you, Gil.
Let me just say one other thing. At the addition at the bottom left corner of the front page, you can see how to write to Mumia in prison. The prisoners all need you to write to them. It's a big, big deal when they know that there's people out there that are paying attention and that care about them. Thank you.
No, we thank you. And I want you to know that just about everybody in the movement was there to support Ralph's memorial on March the 21st. People like Gail and Ann were on the desk, along with Mary Adams and her family, and that was one of the reasons why we got close to $1,900 in checks, and $2,300 in cash at the door for Mumia and Peltier. So we thank everyone who came out, but more than anything, it was the spirit of solidarity and organizing. People were organizing from table to table. You could hear them. And so that is what Brother Ralph would have wanted. He would not have wanted us to use his death as an excuse to mourn and drop out. So let's keep it moving. We're going to go to our next warrior that's in the house. Brother Sierra, your mic is open.
Uhuru. Very powerful transition from the old number to the new number. I'll give out two up-and-coming events first. I'm going to do an excerpt, a real fine excerpt from a comrade behind the walls named McIndoss in Q. I want everybody to go to the Burning Spirit Marketplace. You can always get the papers of the Burning Spirit newspaper at the Burning Spirit Marketplace. Tomorrow, all out for the trial. Drop the charges against the Uhuru 3. Hands off Uhuru Fight Back Coalition meeting. This starts tomorrow at 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. All out for the trial. Drop the charges against the Uhuru 3 on tomorrow, April 10th, at 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Now, you can do this by going to handsoffuhuru.org. You can register for tomorrow's All Out for the Trial, Drop the Charges Against the Uhuru 3. Then we have Up and Coming, The Ballot and the Bullet, This Time Till It's Won by Chairman O'Malley. Yes, to tell the Black is Back Coalition, register now for the Black is Back 8th Electoral Campaign School on April 13th and 14th, 2024. The Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations will conduct our 8th Electoral Candidate School. You must be there. This is a crucial initiative occurring at a critical moment in the history of the world political configuration, fabricated from 600 years, a 600-year-old process that began with the colonial enslavement of our people and our Africa. So go to theblackisback.org to register for this weekend, the 13th and 14th, for the Electoral Campaign School. Now my little excerpt, The Dying Days of the American Empire by McIndoss in Q, a comrade, a political prisoner behind the walls in Lawton, Oklahoma, another dungeon. As reigning imperialist power that rules and dominates the world, America is the world's preeminent empire. It is the most powerful empire in the world. America is an empire with domestic colonies right within its borders of settler colonialism on the mainland and island possessions in the Caribbean, in the Pacific, and it controls and dominates nations in Latin America, Asia, Africa, and the West Indies, and even Europe, where they are client states with puppet regimes in which are little more than reconfigured colonies. Protectorates and dependencies that are renamed nations which are independent and sovereign in name only. It is the prison house of colonized and oppressed peoples and nations that are enchained by its imperialism. America's imperium encompasses the planet where it has extended its rule, authority, control, power, and influence on every corner of the earth. The entire world is the domain as an empire. So it is its vast realm and sphere of influence. Its rule and reach stretched to all continents of the world where it exercises the hegemony and exerts its influence. As an imperialist power of our excellence, America reigns supreme in a world where it has ruling power, control, and authority, and allows its political, economic, and military domination over other nations, just as its influence is all-pervasive with the penetration of American culture and economic products throughout the world through cocoa colonization and McDonaldization and the globalization of American culture. Now, this is just the beginning or an excerpt of a read that will be in next month's Burning Spear newspaper, a paper, as you well know and all of you have read, that really brings together African internationalism, also showing us all what we all know what organization is from a grassroots level. So I'm going to ask you and invite you again, please come out tomorrow for the event on that. Go to handsoffwuhuwuhu.org, as well as the ballot initiatives that we'll be presenting on the 13th and the 14th. Excuse my voice, it is ever-changing, but that's how it goes when you get older. Uhuru.
Uhuru, and thank you. We're going to keep it going. We're going to New Orleans. People, I cannot express enough that you Google Louisiana United International. If you have any kind of media outlet, you should be inviting this comrade to speak. The courts are focusing on her because she is insisting that we stop plea bargaining. Plea bargaining is like the gate to slavery from that coast in Africa where they put us on the slave ships. Stop making and letting our children plea bargain. Make these so-called court lawyers do their job. And in addition to that, this sister is fighting against the mass incarceration of several thousands of captives in Angola death camp prison in Louisiana. And the Supreme Court has said more than a year ago that these men should be let free because they did not have a 12-member jury conviction, and they are still incarcerated. And you need to pay attention to anybody that's favoring states' rights. You need to understand what that phrase means. It means colonial rights. So without further ado, it's a great honor to open up the mic for Sister Belinda Parker Brown, a warrior from New Orleans. Thank you for joining us again tonight, and thank you for waiting. Sister Belinda, your mic is open. Oh, maybe I don't have Sister Belinda.
I thank you so much, Sister Betty. Can you hear me now?
Thank you.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying the show, Sister Betty. I'm telling you, I just so much appreciate you and Brother Ralph and this great work that you're doing. I know that he's smiling on us because we are not going to quit the fight. The struggle for the freedom of the prisoners that have been wrongfully convicted, especially here in the state of Louisiana. You know, you said it best earlier that, you know, when they came for everybody else, that, you know, no one really was paying attention. They had their hands. It wasn't them. But I just want to let you know, Sister Betty, because of the plea bargaining scheme, they came for me. And the judge that was the, I'm telling you, this judge was the God. He was the prosecutor. He was my attorney, their attorney, the clerk of courts, the jury, everything. He would not even allow me to have representation in his kangaroo courtroom. But the truth of the matter is that I took it all the way to appeal and hoped to go all the way to the Supreme Court. In the appeals court, they reversed the charge on me that he cannot bar me for life from his courtroom. So I'm back in the courtroom, but they still upheld the contempt charge against me. So I'm fighting that all the way to the Supreme Court. The only reason why this judge did what he did to me was because of the fact that the public defender plea bargaining scheme, that he got really upset because he was threatening and badgering and forcing a young lady to take a plea to something that she did not do. Now, we kept fighting. they eventually wind up, you know, throwing that charge out, you know, after they had railroaded me into the courtroom and made me pay fines and fees and all of that, and I have to fight them now in their own system. But I'm here to tell you, we are spanking them and beating them real good, because now I'm still waiting for my judicial complaint to come down against this judge. I literally want to snatch the robe off of him, because so many people have been complaining that this judge have already had his mind made up what he was going to do and how he was going to do it, not just to me, but to so many others, Sister Betty, and this is wrong. And I also want to say that we are calling for the Angola prison to be shut down. We want that prison, that godforsaken hellhole prison, that they, it's a mockery here in the state of Louisiana. They nicknamed it Angola because that's where the slaves, when they would cry out on the block down here in New Orleans on the port, that they want to go back home. And they say, okay, we're going to send you home, all right. We're going to send you going to Angola, which is nothing but it sits on a swamp area. You know, everybody in the world need to see it, and it was known the worst, the most bloodiest prison in the whole world, and that's what's happening. We're calling for Angola prison to be a concrete slab, shut it down, and we're not going to stop until it go away, Sister Betty. That's what the fight is all about here in Louisiana.
And I understand you're one of those death camps where they have the largest youth population, and they're trying to put more, they're trying to lower the level for when children can be incarcerated with adults. That's also being considered. Am I correct?
You're absolutely right. They're saying that they want to put juveniles into this this general population of Angola prison, and it's a teasery for the young people to go to Angola, because they call them fresh meat. They take them, they put them out there so that they can be beat and raped. It is horrific stories that's coming out of that prison about how bad it is when they send young people, you know, 17 and older, to that godforsaken hellhole.
Thank you. The other thing I want people to understand is there are over 25 major corporations that have their produce created in this death camp. So this is a concentration camp. And those of us who are ignoring Cop City, you should pay more attention to what's going on with Angola. And Sister Belinda, I hope you and Sister Ann Lamb can hook up, because Ann Lamb is in touch with a lot of people who are dealing with mass incarceration. And so on one hand, we've got our elders in prison, and on the other hand, they are trying to lower the laws for which they can incarcerate children with adults. And Angola Death Camp is leading the parade. It is considered the worst prison in the world. It is considered,
yes,
I'll say it again, the worst prison in the world. And this sister, all by herself, was fighting this war. And Black is Back, and Ralph and a couple of other warriors went down there to try to have her back for a while. And one of her comrades, an attorney, was killed by these monsters trying to defend her in court. Killed just before she was supposed
And right at the time they murdered her, Sister Betty, we was getting ready to file a major lawsuit against the state of Louisiana for wrongfully incarcerating people on that 10-2 verdict. And when she died, you know, when they murdered her, all of that pretty much went to a halt. We haven't had anybody else to step up and help us.
She worked for pro bono. She worked free, my comrade.
Yes.
We
was in the process of getting over 8,000 people freed through this lawsuit, along with Pastor Victor, that is still being held captive and kidnapped in their hell holes right now.
So don't let people tell you that there's not warriors out there. They're out there. It's up to us to uplift them and to give them exposure. So, Sister Ann, the next time you're doing something with New York City Jericho that's on a Zoom, I hope you'll consider uniting with Sister Belinda. We got to keep the Angola death camp out there, because so many people are now recognizing there's so many movements to attack the death camps. And we have to, because they're only going to expand. This is what Cop City means. Thank you for getting on, Sister Belinda. I recognize how much you do. And it's not like you haven't had personal tragedy in your own family. I know you've lost several members of your family to COVID. And
yes.
I just admire the
way I would like people to go to our website, though, Sister Betty, and support us. If they don't do nothing but click on the site and just, you know, leave a message for us and let us know that they're there and they're standing with us in support. The website is www.LA, stand for Louisiana, LA United, UNITED.org. Thank you.
No, we thank you. Folks, I've extended the program because they cut us off last week, and I know I remember when Malcolm was censured by the Muslim nation, the Nation of Islam, for saying chickens come home to roost, et cetera, which was true. When he finally got a chance to speak, he said, I'm speaking a mile a minute because I haven't been able to talk for so long. So, folks, I apologize. But I'm extending your time to speak because I know all of you are like Malcolm when it comes to that. So we're going to go on to our next speaker, and I think he's ready to give us some updates. Thank you, Brother Henry, for hanging in there. It's so good to see a number on the screen. And thank you again, Sister Belinda. Please take care and watch your back. Okay, Brother Henry?
Can you hear me?
Now we hear you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. It's always a welcomed opportunity to share information. I'd like to share with the audience tonight the names of four books that, while somewhat dated, help to increase our understanding about how this system operates, because it's notorious for pretending that it's a victim and a champion in democracy when the opposite is true. The first book, while dated, is entitled Market Elections by Vince Copeland, and it explains graphically how democracy serves the rich. And it was published some years ago, around the year 2000, by Worldview Publishers, and it details the incestuous relationship between Democrats and Republicans since the nation's inception.
Give the name of that book again, please.
Okay, Market Elections by Vince Copeland. The subtitle is How Democracy Serves the Rich. And it was initially published by Worldview Publishers, also known as Workers' World, in January of 2000. And it details the incestuous relationship between Democrats and Republicans since the nation's inception.
All
the
right.
Book thank you. The next book is entitled The Empire's New Clothes by Paul Street, published by Paradigm Publishers of Boulder, Colorado. And it came out in 2010, but it profiles Barack Obama in the real world of power and the riveting critique about who he is and was. A couple of weeks ago now, or a week and a half ago, Clinton and Biden showed up at Radio City Music Hall, and they were able to con the rich donors up to $25 million in support money or campaign money for Biden's election. And so there were spirited demonstrators inside and outside the Radio City Music Hall denouncing this event, especially after the atrocious support and escorted invasion of Gaza by Israel, and that the United States, you know, was even considering adding an additional $18 billion in support of this genocide. The other book is entitled At Dawn We Slept by Gordon Prange, and it's an exhaustive study of the actual forces that orchestrated the attack on Pearl Harbor and triggered World War II. People always like to think that the United States was a victim by the Japanese, but in effect, this was a setup that the United States orchestrated over time to use the excuse to go to war with Japan. And it's, again, At Dawn We Slept, and it's by Gordon Prange. And the final book is Generals Over the White House by Sam Marcy. And it dispels the myth that President Biden is simply the commander-in-chief, when in fact many of his marching orders comes from the Pentagon in effect. You know, they always talk about, well, you know, he's the most powerful man in the world. And to a certain extent, it's true. But the behavior of the United States internationally is always submerged to the best interest of the military-industrial complex. And so
that you said discusses who Obama is again? I hate to keep interrupting you this way, but could you give that title again?
Yeah, no problem. The title of this book is The Empire's New Clothes by Paul Street. And it was published around 2010, but he examines Barack Obama in the real world of power, and it's a riveting critique about who he is and who he was. And, you know, he sold a lot of people on this phrase, yes, we can. And meanwhile, he furthered the U.S. imperialist interests in Africa and elsewhere. He is not as harsh or as offensive as perhaps Biden and Trump or Bush before them, but in effect, he loyally serves the interests of U.S. imperialism.
Well, those of us who were paying attention when he first came on the scene, when he just threw in his hat for the presidency, the Black Congressional Caucus asked him why he did not join the different civil rights legislation that was put before Congress, and why he didn't support the legacy of people like Fannie Lou Hamer. And his statement to them at that time was, he did not want to be identified, notice the word, identified
right,
with the extremism of the 60s and the civil rights movement. The extremism.
Yeah, it's telling. Yeah, it's telling. And
Fannie Lou Hamer, who got beaten half to death for trying to vote, was an extremist.
That's right. You know, and she kept her dignity and determination up until the last moments, you know.
Exactly.
But Obama,
exactly,
he was groomed for the job, and he would not have been selected if he didn't meet certain criteria. And people are fooled by the symbolism, oh, well, he's the first Black president. That doesn't mean jack, you know.
Okay, thank you. All right, I want to announce for you again that next Wednesday at 8 o'clock on WBAI 99.5 FM, we're going to be featuring an investigation of the armed invasion of our subway system. You realize that the ridership is something like 75% to 80% Black and brown people going to work. It's very important that we push back against what they're doing. They're doing this, trying to do the same number on the subway system that they are trying to do on Haiti. And so without further ado, thank you, Brother Henry. 7785.
My pleasure.
We're going to open the mic if you want to say a few words. And I hope Brother Joel is still on. I hope he was still able to hold on. 7785. Your mic is open. Did you want to say a few words?
A real quick few words here so I don't take up too much time. Before, Sister Ann and Jericho were saying about how people should write to, and also about Mumia, people should write to the political prisoners. I mean, there's specific cases and specific horrors that are being carried out from time to time. But just developing, just sending a letter, developing a little communication with political prisoner, not only is it very valuable, supportive for the prisoner, but it also, I mean, you'll be surprised how much, you yourself will gain from that. So, you know, just go to the Jericho website and get some names and addresses, and don't be afraid to write to the comrades. And as we always say, free them all.
All right. Well, I'll tell you the truth. It looks like we got everybody in. So I just want to thank everyone for getting on again tonight, because we have had some interesting times. and I'm going to assume that this number is going to work next week, but if not, you know I will let you know. And again, I cannot thank you enough for your... I'm trying to get... You can tell I'm trying to... I'm trying to get the technology to work on this station. I wasn't able to download our theme the way I wanted to, so we're just going to have to say goodnight. Oh, there it is. And thank you for getting on.